Let's just, were you ready? Should we get this party started?
We were kind of hoping that you actually have to do the song at the beginning live every time.
That is a pre-record.
I know.
Shout out to Billy, who is my bass on that. Hi, plant friends. Welcome to episode 82 of
Bloom and Grow Radio.
My plant friends, it's almost the holidays. How are you doing? How's everyone doing this holiday season? It is snowy AF here in Toronto, where I have been for the last couple of weeks. It's weird. I missed winter last year because we spent winter on the West Coast, which was sunny. So this is like my first winter in almost 2 years now. Toronto's really giving it to me. Speaking of Toronto, I'm so excited because we have some Toronto Canadian plant friends as guests. I sat down with Daryl from Houseplant Journal and Jazz from Gardenstead. We have a wonderful conversation about prepping for winter. But before that, I just want to fill you guys in on a few things. Holidays are still upon us. If you need last-minute gifts or last-minute gift requests, check out Maria's Favorite Things. It's a blog and YouTube video. This year, it's linked in the show notes. It's all of my favorite things, all of my favorite planty products, and almost all of them have coupon codes, pretty hefty coupon codes, 15 to 20% on most of the products. So check that out. The newest episode on the Bloom and Grow YouTube show is Grow Lights. Babies, you have been asking for a tour of my grow lights. I have 5 grow lights in my tiny apartment with my 120 plants, I believe is the count. And I take you through all of my grow lights, how they're set up, what the timers look like, what plants I have under them. It's a little bit of a tour of my home, but just the grow light sections. Shout out to Chelsea, who videoed it, who recorded it for me and edited it. She did such an amazing job. Chelsea Megan Media. So make sure you go click the link and check that out. It's the perfect pairing to today's topic, which is prepping your plants for winter and what to do to get through these dark and cold winter months if you are in the Northern Hemisphere like me here in Toronto and in New York City. And thank you to our newest Patreon plant friends. Guys, you are showing up for me, and Patreon has had to be on the back burner a little bit just for me to get through these last episodes. Cats has had a lot more rehearsals than anticipated, so my schedule has been absolutely insane. But I'm done with Cats in January and coming back to focus on Bloom and Grow. So prepare yourselves, friends. Exciting things are coming. So thank you to our newest Patreon plant friend community members, Jennifer Timmons, Yuri Garcia, Josie Skinner. Welcome, my friends. Thank you for your generosity and kindness, especially in these months that are all about generosity and kindness. I'm so thankful to every single Patreon plant friend. You guys are amazing. Check the link in the show notes if you are interested in supporting the show monetarily. Okay, so winter's coming, my plant friends. Winter's here. It's not coming, it's here. And Daryl, me, and Jazz had this really interesting conversation. For me, this whole year has been about zooming out and getting a better, broader understanding about how plants work, because I haven't been with my plants, but it's making me real excited to get back with them now that I know all these things about their roots and their variegation and the soil I'm putting them in. And, you know, if you've noticed, a lot of the episode topics this year have been a little broader. And it makes you think about broadening your approach to plant care and not just following instructions, but understanding what is going on and why you are doing things. So this conversation with Daryl and Jazz is about, yes, winter's here and there are things that we need to do and alter in our plant care practice. But more importantly, we discuss what is actually happening outdoors. Why is the light changing? Why is the humidity dropping? Why are all these things happening for us to better understand so we can use that knowledge to care for our plants? And I'm really going to encourage all of you guys to think that way. I mean, it is totally fine if it's not. My first 6 months as a plant parent, I looked at care cards and I lived and died by those care cards, and that's okay. But, you know, play with it. Play with your knowledge and your empowerment. Allow yourself to maybe experiment and make choices and think more broadly, because that's what I'm going to challenge myself to do this winter. And that's what I'm going to challenge myself to do as a plant parent in general and a human. So I hope you just love this conversation. And plant friends, as I was thinking about these amazing episode sponsors today and what I wanted to tell you about them, it occurred to me that they are the perfect pair because Plants by Post is delivering amazing plants directly to your door in unbelievable shape by cutting out the middleman, and they ship directly from their nursery in California. And Wally Grow is amazing green wall containers. Not even for green wall, but if you want to mount plants onto your wall, their eco container is the go-to, and they have outdoor options as well. So wouldn't it be fun if you are thinking about doing a green wall to use the insane discounts they're both giving and order yourself your Wally Grow containers and fill them with Plants by Post plants? How much fun would that be? And everything would get shipped directly to your door. So anyway, if any of you guys end up doing that, let me know and tag me on Instagram and I will repost it. And I'm sure if you tag Wally Grow and Plants by Post, they'd be excited to see it. But a little Plants by Post Wally Grow wall, baby. Anyway, you're going to hear more about both sponsors within the course of the episode, but I want to talk to you about Plants by Post. Plant friends, Plants by Post is the way I am ordering plants online these days. It is a family-owned nursery located in Northern California that specializes in indoor and outdoor annuals and perennials, and they are cutting out the middleman by shipping directly to your door from their nursery nationwide. So I've used Plants by Post twice now in two different cities to have plants delivered to me, once in Chicago and once in Long Island City. And both times the plants have arrived on time. They've arrived in unbelievable condition and in wonderful packaging that you can recycle because they're super committed to sustainability. And on top of the fact that they just ship amazing plants directly to your door, they've just released a line of gorgeous cash pots, which are pots that have no drainage. They ship the plant in its nursery pot slipped inside of the cash pot. They have a variety of colors, and what you do is you select the plant and then you can pick which pot you want it potted in. So you can go based on the aesthetic of your home. The online process of ordering it is super simple. So here are a couple of things I love about Plants by Post besides their gorgeous plants and the Sansevieria moonshine that I have in my apartment that I love. So they're a family-run company. Three generations of family have been running this company with unbelievable passion. Since they're grown in California, they can grow their plants indoors and outdoors, and they focus on making them as hardy as possible. And they grow everything from cuttings or seeds, so they know exactly how it's grown. And they're environmentally friendly. So they actually are MPS certified, which means that they submit their energy, water, chemical, and fertilizer and recycling practices to a third-party company every month to keep their integrity in line. And I love that about them. They have a ton of high-quality indoor and outdoor plants on their website right now. I'm looking at that Sansevieria moonshine that I have, that Ficus Audrey. They have a wide variety of peperomia, which I think would make a great holiday gift because they're super hardy, and more. Go online, check out what they have. This would make an amazing holiday season gift. What is a better gift than gifting, sending a friend or family member a gorgeous plant in a beautiful pot that's going to be the gift that keeps on giving year-round, plant friends? So head to plantsbypost.com, check out everything they have to offer, and then if you want 20% off, you can use code BLOOM19. So I just went online, I looked at a gorgeous plant in a beautiful white pot. It was $50, and that code got me $10 off. So 20% off with the code BLOOM19, and Plants by Post is so excited about this partnership. They are extending this discount into the new year. So whenever you're interested in ordering a plant delivered to your home or as a gift to someone else, head to plantsbypost.com and use the code BLOOM19 for 20% off. All right, let's go to Canada. Welcome back to Bloom and Grow Radio, and welcome Jazz and Daryl.
Thank you for having us.
Thank you for coming here and
exactly.
recording.
I am in the Gardenstead office. For those listening in Toronto, I've been in Toronto for a couple of weeks, and Jazz and Gardenstead was so kind enough to throw a little mixer for some Toronto plant people, and I was there and coincidentally had a guest drop out last minute to be on this week's podcast episode. And so I said, Jazz and Daryl, what are you up to? You want to come on the show?
And he said, absolutely.
Oh, yes. Never a dull moment to talk about plants.
Exactly. Never a dull moment, especially when you have a portable recording studio that you can bring anywhere. So we're in Toronto. It is super cold and winter is here. Winter is no longer coming. So today's chat will be about that. But before we get into that, those people know Daryl, who has been on the show a couple of times. But Jazz, I'd love for you to introduce yourself and talk about your crazy plant lady within you and what you do for Gardenstead. And
yeah, absolutely. Well, I've been a crazy plant lady for about 12 years. Mm-hmm. I started as an ornamental gardener, working for professional horticulture companies across Canada, and got really into outdoor gardening. And I grew up with a mother who had house plants galore. So the care of indoor house plants always came really naturally to me. I always had a lot and I never thought too deeply about it. I just knew that I would always have them and lots of them. Mm-hmm. And so I always had a lot of indoor house plants. And then I got really hooked on vegetable gardening and flower gardening from seed. So I'm a big vegetable gardener.
You mentioned the other day that you grew all of your flowers for your wedding from seed, which I'm going to make you tell me about later air.
I don't necessarily recommend it. I planted about 150 sunflowers.
Wow.
From seed and some other Bells of Ireland and other. And then I had roses, white roses, to bring some formality to it. Mm-hmm. But I did all of the table arrangements, own bouquet. I did it all. So it was very cathartic and I loved doing it, but I was really busy.
I bet that's stressed. I keep telling my mom that's what I want to do. And she's like, absolutely not.
I'll talk you through it if you do want to do it.
We'll have you back on for the wedding series that I'm planning for the show. But talk to us a little bit about Gardenstead and what you do for them and what you guys are up to.
Yeah, Gardenstead is, we are an online gardening community and we are primarily on Facebook right now. We have a lot of followers on Facebook and they are really active, sticky community, constantly talking. We have subgroups, houseplants, succulent group, vegetable gardening group, flower gardening. And what our whole idea is to inspire gardeners to do more. And we want to celebrate the imperfection. So we really wanted to create a community based around trial and error and celebrating experiments and trying new things and not being afraid to fail with all areas of gardening. So houseplants is a big one, but vegetable gardening, flower gardening, and ornamental gardening.
That's amazing. And now Daryl is in your office with you. So talk about this new partnership.
So just a few months back, the Gardenstead teams, we met up at an event and they said, you know, we really love the way that you talk about houseplants and your philosophy on environment understanding, but also about the celebrating the failures and not being afraid to beat yourself up.
Plant fail Friday,
yeah,
baby.
Like not beat yourself up over yellow leaves and those kinds of things. And so, you know, in a kind of like a dating phase, I just came to the office and we worked together, me and Jazz. And it's been really fun to like think of ideas for videos, think of ideas for Instagram posts, all that kind of stuff. And yeah, it's just been, and so now officially I'm part of the team. And yeah, it's really more like a merge. Like we're really going to have both the Gardenstead and Houseplant Journal stuff all together. And it's just something that I was super excited about. It was totally unexpected, but I saw that it was a really great opportunity.
And so for your followers who've been following you forever, they can still look forward to seeing Houseplant Journal posts.
Oh, yeah.
So Houseplant Journal isn't going anywhere.
Oh, yeah. Houseplant Journal is here to stay. And you'll probably just see Jazz in a couple of posts and just really merging the two because ultimately our visions are very, very similar.
And I'm excited to see what amazing stuff you can put out using the Gardenstead resources as well, because you guys have a lot going on.
Yeah. And we're really excited to be on the podcast because we rant about plants all day long. Our desks are right beside each other, and this is all we talk about.
We keep joking that we should just put microphones permanently at our desk, and we just press record every now and then.
And that's your podcast, that's it. I think that the winter, especially the holiday season, and winter can be stressful for people on so many different levels. People have weird feelings about the holidays, about holiday gift shopping, about the sun going down. People suffer from SAD, seasonal affective disorder. And I think for plant parents, going into the winter can be a little bit of a bummer because, as we all know, because there's less light, it's a different season. A lot of our plants are going dormant. We're not going to experience that growth. We're not going to see a lot of those blooms that we're so used to seeing. And I think that since the three of us are here trudging through the snow in Toronto right now, no better time than to kind of discuss our strategies for braving the winter. And I think more importantly, and we were just talking about this offline, and this is something I've been thinking about in the entirety of season four of Bloom and Grow Radio, because I've been away from my plants for so long, I can't be obsessing over the one yellow leaf on my Raphidophora tetrasperma or Limey or Lemony's like lack of bloom. Like I can't obsess about the specific stuff this season of my life. So it's been making me think more broadly about light in general and getting more curious about, you know, what is variegation, what's going on in the root system. I think that is really reflected in this season. And so we were talking about how we want to challenge our community today to zoom out and think a little bit more broadly about winter and not just make it about, okay, it's winter, so I have to do this, make sure my windows aren't this, or we don't want to just give you a list of stuff to do in the next week to stress you out. The holidays are stressful enough. We want to just kind of have a conversation about what's happening outside that is actually affecting our plants. Why are they being affected this way? And because of that, with that knowledge and that empowerment, how we can just apply this general knowledge to each individual plant on our own. I think that's going to make for a much more interesting conversation. So, Daryl, my engineer approaching plants and science and light, talk to me about, like, people say it's winter, there's less light, but like, why?
Let's go all the way out even further than just outside of our homes, but like out into space, Earth tilted a little bit. And so because of that, the sun strikes us at different angles, right? And so throughout the year, the sun will be in quite significantly different physical places in the sky, depending on the time of year. And so what I have here in front of us, which you're going to describe.
So Daryl is providing visual aids for this conversation that I am going to try and interpret audibly for you. And we're going to have screen grabs of them in the show notes. So it's going to be bloomandgrowradio.com/winter. We'll call it /winter. I just made that up right now. And you can check these screen grabs of what Daryl's talking about.
So basically what I have here is like a 3D diagram of essentially our sky and the sun. And what's really great about this tool, which will include the link there, is that you can then play around with like the date and see how the sun changes position in the sky.
So basically it's a website that is showing you on whatever day of the year where exactly the sun is going to be positioned.
Yeah.
So and Daryl's clicking through the different days and you can see the sun and the
shadows.
Yeah, exactly. Position,
like we have some simulated buildings here. And so I'm saying every day at 11:10 a.m., where is the sun based on different times of the year?
Right.
And so what's happening is when we get all the way into, like, so here I have January 1st and the sun only comes up basically to this very low elevation, which means that it doesn't even peak over some of these buildings, right? Whereas in the summertime, we go all the way up here and the sun is like way up high in the sky, right?
Okay. So that's like, that's a thing that I feel like people maybe don't understand. So the winter is darker because the sun is literally lower in the sky.
Yeah. And it is also in the sky for a lot less time.
Right.
So here we have in the date, January 1st, it says the daylight hours is only 8:53 in our latitude of Toronto.
Right.
Which is close enough to New York, I think.
Right.
So
I know. Sorry, Australian listeners. You're going to have to kind of reverse all of this, but we love you.
then in, so for us, you know, in the summer solstice, like June, then we can see the daylight hours here is, 15 hours.
So you're getting fewer hours of sunlight a day.
And the position of the sun is so much lower.
Because it's not the strength of the sun, but it's the position of the sun.
Well, it's also the strength of the sun, which is why it's hotter when the sun's rays strike us closer to straight on. You know, because if we're more at an angle like this and the sun's striking us on an angle, then the strength is weaker by, I think, cosine something. But anyway, I'm not going to go into that.
But then, so in the winter when the sun is closer, wouldn't it necessarily be arguably stronger?
So our orbit around the sun is slightly closer in the winter, but it's actually because of the angle that the sun strikes us, that that has a bigger effect on the overall temperature than the overall distance we are from the sun.
Okay.
Do you understand what I mean? Like that effect of the angle of the sun striking us has a bigger effect on how hot it is here compared to just the physical distance. That, like at the equator is always so much hotter because their sun rays are always striking at close to 90 degrees.
Okay. In general, no matter how strong or how weak the sun is, we're just getting fewer hours of it. So the amount of sun time our plants are getting is limited, because if my succulents that have been sitting in my window have been getting 8 to 9 hours of full sun a day, and then all of a sudden they're getting 4 hours of full sun a day.
Because now you got to account for obstructions that are out there, right? Yeah.
Okay.
So that's, that's the general, I guess, sentiment around it. But then there's sometimes funny details about, like, just today on Instagram, I posted about how I noticed certain of my plants that were actually growing more. Mm-hmm. And then lots of people were then bringing up comments and saying like, oh yeah, I did notice that for some reason I'm getting more sun. Like I seem to be, it seems to be brighter in the wintertime. And again, that's because of the fact that the position of the sun is so different throughout different times of the year. And the other factor, which is a really interesting one someone brought up, is that the trees that are in front of someone's house, for example, no longer have leaves.
Right.
So the sun is now facing them with a leafless tree.
Oh.
Sun shines right in.
Sun shines right in. You're not getting that leaf coverage.
That's right. And then
that's something you don't think about.
But for them, the same people in the summer, trees shade the sun, but also the sun is higher. And, you know, we all have these little awnings, right? And so that blocks a little bit of the light. So if you're, you know, a few feet from the window in the winter, that plant could potentially be looking at the sun because it's actually straight out in front.
Right. The other thing that you deal with in the winter, if you're close enough to the ground, is snow. And snow can be very reflective. Yes. So if you're in a home where, and you've got a yard with a lot of snow, that also can factor into the amount of light getting on your plant, right?
That's a really good point. I've read a lot of people that use mirrors to try to reflect and bring more sunlight into their spaces.
Yeah. It's interesting because mirrors reflect direct sun very well. But if you just had a plain white wall, that would reflect the overall ambient sky into there. It's actually very similar to if you've ever done modeling, or you have a photographer who has those like big discs, right? They have one surface that's just white and they have one surface that's like silver. That's, or they don't really have mirrored surfaces, but you know what I mean?
Like, yeah, like, they have those reflectors.
It reflects the light in different qualities and diffuses in different ways too.
Okay. So externally for our indoor houseplants, that's what's happening. We're getting shorter bursts of light and different quality light because it's in a different position in the sky.
Yeah. And so therefore we overall less in terms of the hours where the sun is in the sky, but for each individual person, because nobody's outside obstructions are exactly the same, you may notice, like, for example, as I said, with the trees, that sun happens to peer in more in the winter versus somebody else who has the awning in the summertime and they're like, I actually don't get much sun, right?
So for that person who has the tree coverage that's no longer there, their winter might look almost exactly the same because they have the coverage of the trees in the summer, lessening their summer light, and then they have increased. But for someone like me who has I don't have any obstructions in my southern facing windows, our light is dramatically different in the winter.
Yes.
Because there's just not as much.
And there's probably not as much light. If you're in a building, then it's possible that that sun just never comes up any higher than some of those lower rise buildings, right?
Yeah. Okay. So everybody's got to become a sleuth into, and if you haven't listened to the episodes I did with Leslie Halleck, Understanding Natural Light, go back and listen to those because those episodes really help you become ruthlessly onto yourself and your apartment and your personal conditions.
That just takes time too, right? Like the observing of the natural light in your own space. And even I have a small cold room that is west facing, but I can't, it's so cold in there. It's not insulated. So I can't put my plants in there, but I can in the summer. So everything gets jammed into one spot in my apartment. But I learned that over years. I learned that over cold, dead plants
yeah.
that they can't be in there in the winter.
Yeah. And we have a worksheet for measuring your own light, and it's over a period of time. So you take measurements, I think maybe throughout the week or throughout a couple of months, but it would be interesting to take measurements quarterly too, to really understand. So if you guys have downloaded that worksheet, find it and take your measurements again. So we've got that going on in the winter. Is there anything else? And obviously it's getting colder, but for our indoor apartments, that's not necessarily changing them. So that's what's happening on the outside of the apartments. Now what's happening, or homes, what's happening on the inside that is changing things?
So humidity is definitely a very big issue. And I'm a little bit crazy because I have three like hygrometers at different places in my little apartment.
Is a hygrometer a humidity measurer?
Yeah.
Okay.
So then I always know, like I've basically been able to take those measurements throughout the entire year. And so in the summertime, it's between 60 and 70, very close to what it is outside. Mm-hmm. But in the winter, the special thing that happens is that because of our heating systems needing to bring the temperature back up, and they're drawing air from outside, well, that air is so cold and has very little water in it. Mm-hmm. So when they heat it back up, unless your furnace also has a humidifier, then if it's just a straight like a radiator heater, mm-hmm. then your temperature has gone up, but the water content has stayed the same as what it was outside. So the percent humidity could be anywhere down from like 15 or up to 20%.
Right. You're also, if you're living in New York City like me, got these freaking ancient radiators that yes. are just spitting out the driest heat you could ever imagine, or the floorboard radiators that you have no control over that are making it so dry. So what do you do to change that, to help that?
So it's very interesting you ask me, because in particular, I've been like, I really don't do any humidity raising for my mm-hmm. plants, which some people are kind of surprised to know, but like, I don't have humidifier. I've never used a tray of pebbles, and I don't find misting therapeutic at all. So I just don't do it at all.
Okay.
I don't have a humidifier either. Mm-hmm. I don't do anything. I have done the tray of pebbles mm-hmm. for my ferns.
Do you find that it works?
I found that it works, but we have two ferns here in the office now, and we were going to do like A/B testing mm-hmm. to see, because Daryl made a good point in the circumference of where, like, the foliage goes out so far, mm-hmm. and then your tray has to be large enough so when the water evaporates, it actually hits that line of foliage. Mm-hmm. So I don't, like, your tray would have to be really large.
Right. Yeah. And for those listening, the tray of pebbles. So there are a couple of humidity hacks that we've talked about on the show before. Obviously, the most basic is getting humidifiers in your space. The tray of pebbles is, and you can experiment with this at home if you want to, like Jazz has, you get a tray that you fill with pebbles, and then you fill that tray with water up to the line of the pebbles, basically. And then you put your plant pot on it, and the water is supposed to evaporate and create more moisture for the, like, exact surrounding of that tray.
Yeah, very, very so, localized effect.
Right. So Jazz is saying if you have a large plant and a small tray, that's not going to do much for you, which mm-hmm. makes sense. Mm-hmm. In the apartment, the humidity is dropping. And if the light is dropping outdoors, the light is significantly dropping indoors, because it's like 15x or 10x less light indoors than outdoors. A few things we've done for humidity, or that I've had friends do. I mean, you can listen back to Alessia's episode on humidity hacks, where she gives some tips if you're going to get a humidifier, things you should look at, like don't put it right next to your wall where it might get your walls wet. Or she puts glass up if she has it close to her walls to avoid getting her paint ruined, stuff like that. Another thing is like the simple act of like grouping plants, because plants do something called transpiration mm-hmm. where they release water. Plants are always so happy when they're grouped, would you say friends. That too?
Yeah. I'm plant smiling. Friends, IRL. I'm smiling because I can just picture them so much happier together, mm-hmm. group mentality. And that's what I do have to do with all my plants in the winter, is one window is the best window in my whole apartment. So they all go
right in front of it.
Party together.
But that must make, I mean, I've said this on the show before, but that must make them so happy, because we always group our plants together on our living room table when we leave. And I always come back when we go on vacation. And if it's been one or 2 weeks, I always come back being like, oh my God, which one's going to be dead? Which one's going to be struggling? And they're all like thriving, like the peperomia, like throw off inflorescence. And we're like, why can't you be like this when we're not home? But it's because they're just grouped together. And if you're like me and you have a million plants and 4 square feet, your plants are going to be grouped together naturally because you don't got space, which is what it sounds like yours is too.
It's exactly what it is. All jammed in one window, hanging on the sill. I have like a really nice old antique wooden ironing board. Mm-hmm. So they all line up. And then I just rotate it because there's some spots in that one window where some get better light than others. Mm-hmm. So I'm constantly rotating. And that's actually a really good tangible care tip for the winter is the arrangement of your plants. So you have to think almost reverse with the winter. So you usually want your taller plants on the outskirts of your room and your smaller plants on your coffee tables and such. Mm-hmm. But in the winter, because of the lower light, you want to actually flip that. So you want to put your shorter plants closer to the window mm-hmm. so they can receive just as much as the taller plants.
So they don't get blocked by the tall plants.
So mm-hmm. my plant care in the winter, my setup really is very utilitarian. Like you can't even see some of my smaller plants. Mm-hmm. They're not on display. I'm just giving them as much mm-hmm. light as possible.
You've got to do that or bring in a grow light. Which is also what I've done. Cause I do feel like sometimes, cause we only have in our whole apartment 3 windowsills. So those get full. And then if you want your plants to survive, like you either do have to kind of crowd them in a utilitarian way is a nice way of saying it. Cause to me, it's like cluttered or just like not stylish, you know? And when Billy was like, this looks like a hoarder's nest, I was like, okay. And that's when we started bringing in grow lights because I was just like, we need it to look nice. You know what I mean? So that's interesting. So another thing before we get into more like practical tips, I mean, let's also just take a minute and be like, these plants aren't meant to like survive winter. They're based, you know, many of the tropical plants we take care of come from the tropics where there's no snow and they are getting maybe varied amounts of lights, but Daryl, maybe you can speak more to that, like of just what in their natural habitat they're used to and how different our environments are.
So, I mean, just now, as you saw that, I'm back to on my little solar map here. What I did was I shifted the latitude down to somewhere in the tropics, right? And you can see what happens to the sun, which is that it now becomes more directly overhead. So this kind of like evens out the duration of light between summer and winter. And that's what most of these plants are used to.
Right.
Right. So the fact that they're getting so much less here, up way up here in the winter is something that's quite shocking to them.
Because they're just used to getting a really nice even amount of light all year round. Yeah.
I would always say, yes, light is the first thing. So that's the first thing I always think about, right? And then, of course, the ambient humidity for them is also a constant between, let's say, I don't know, 50 to 70 or even 100 if it's going to be a thunderstorm, right? So, you know, that means their transpiration, which you talked about earlier, like when the ambient humidity is really low, then transpiration becomes much faster. To me, that is actually the real danger of low humidity is that your plant could become quickly thirsty faster than you're used to it.
Right.
Right. And that's sort of what the main concern is with humidity in the winter. It's that you thought this fern was okay. Oh, I can check on it every 5 days. And then all of a sudden 2 days in and it's like really light and it's crispy.
Cause it's sitting on that radiator.
Yeah.
Pro tip. Don't put your plants near a radiator. Just don't do it. Chris talks about that on our last episode we did on prepping plants for winter. He lost so many plants to putting them on the radiator accidentally.
It comes down to also, you know, me obsessively measuring everything. Like I have those little hygrometer and thermometers at different places, and it can be kind of different even just between places. So on top of radiator, I'm sure that if I was to put that little temperature thermometer there, it could be like, we would say like 28 degrees or something.
Okay.
It would be Celsius, way 28 Celsius versus a regular room temperature of 22, right? So that difference for you could be like quite a lot, and you may not be able to notice it unless you actually measure it.
Right.
I love working with Daryl because he is the scientific mind. I have a theory and I'll say like, oh, this X, Y, Z. And he's like, actually, this is the actual thing. And it is,
this like, is why
the data behind it is very helpful.
So knowing that data, like, I just think it's important for us to all be like, this hobby is amazing and my life's calling, but like, this is crazy what we're trying to do with tropical plants in a New York City apartment in the winter. And your plants are going to take a hit, and that's completely okay. It's completely normal for in the winter your plants to go through it and not be thrilled. And that doesn't make you a bad plant parent, and that doesn't make you a bad person. It just makes it nature, and that's okay. And, you know, maybe they're going to drop a couple leaves. Maybe a few are going to turn yellow. Maybe you're not going to nail your watering perfectly. And just, I feel like going into the season with a little grace for yourself to start off, so you don't have to just be constantly stressed. I feel like I get so many messages from people just so stressed about a little aspect of plant care. And it's like, number one, there's a lesson to learn in every plant fail. There's a lesson in every mistake that we make as plant parents. So everyone can just take a breath and say to yourself right now, I'm not going to let the winter get away with me. You know, I'm not going to let the winter screw my head up too much.
And it's just like humans too. We go into hibernation. Mm-hmm. Winter is slower in general. You're supposed to slow your pace down. Mm-hmm. Your food is slower. You're making soup. Mm-hmm. You're roasting things. And that's the same as your plants. It's just slower. They're not as actively growing. Mm-hmm. Everything, just take a pause and really enjoy it and manage your expectations and don't, like you said, Maria, don't stress.
Plant friends, if you have listened to this podcast, you know that I love my WallyGrow green wall. WallyGrow makes building a green wall in your home or putting plants on a wall in your home simple, sustainable, and fun. As you probably know, last year I wanted a light green to dark green ombre look on my living room wall, and so I installed 6 of the WallyGrow Eco Planters in 2 vertical lines on my wall last year, and plant friends, I cannot get over how happy my plants are in these planters and how simple the installation was. Like, I can't stress it to you enough. And if you're curious to learn more, check out the YouTube video of my WallyGrow update. I break it all down for you. So their planters come with everything you need for a successful installation. And it is so easy. It is as simple as putting 1 screw into your wall. You mount the wall bracket onto the wall. You fill your eco planter. You can either pot it up with soil like what I did, or you can put 4-inch pots of plants in the eco planter and use it as a cash pot. And then you just hang it on the wall bracket. It is so simple. And since these pots are removable, you can take them out if you need to do plant maintenance, or you can swap them around if you want to move them around the wall, depending on, you know, if your taste or your style changes. I love that. In addition to the installation just being so easy, my plants are really just so happy. These planters have been designed so intentionally for our plants. They have perforated holes in the front to help aerate the soil naturally, and a watering reservoir that feeds the roots directly and actually can decrease your water usage by 75%. And fear not, if you use that water reservoir, there is no spills. We have had no spillage in over a year of having the pots on our wall. And plant friends, in addition to these planters just being really awesome and really affordable and really easy to install, they're made in the USA from entirely recycled plastic. WallyGrow has a huge commitment to sustainability that I really respect. So if you're curious, get creative and build your green space exactly how you want to, whether it's just putting 1 of the eco planters on your wall, maybe on a gallery wall, doing 2 lines of planters and having that ombre effect like I did, or you can do an entire wall flush with plants in your home in an incredibly attainable and stress-free way. You can really like do whatever you want with it. It's really wild. So go check out all of the different colors, all of the different options that WallyGrow has to offer at WallyGrow.com, and then use code BLOOM20 for 20% off your entire WallyGrow system. So once again, for the green wall of your dreams, either indoors or outdoors, go to WallyGrow.com and use the code BLOOM20 for 20% off, plant friends. All right, back to our chat. I think that's the perfect transition to like what to expect when winter is coming / winter is here, knowing that this is why and how to either get ahead of it or how to kind of manage it.
Well, one thing that I find really helps is a little bit of elbow grease is just truly washing your windows. Mm-hmm.
So simple.
It's so simple and it's so overlooked. But that helps you too. That brings in more light to your own living space, not just your plants. So washing, I always wash my windows inside and out. And life tip, if you use like a Windex, use newspaper on your windows to, to wash your windows, and it leaves it streakless.
Oh, really? With Windex?
Mm-hmm. My grandma taught me that.
Oh, okay. Instead of a paper towel. Mm-hmm. Okay.
And now if you're going to go do that today or tomorrow, look at the week forecast and pick the warmest day to do it so you don't get the streaky windows. I find that's a really, really helpful tip, is just cleaning your windows, cleaning the foliage, making sure there's no dust on your plants so it can receive all that beautiful light when it comes in. The rearranging, like I mentioned, if you have really drafty windows, some people tape them up, and that will help you with your
Yeah. So let's talk about a couple of things that you said there. So with the really drafty windows, what a lot of us don't realize, especially if you're living in old buildings, is there are little gusts, puffs of air that will sneak through the window, even though you think it's closed. That's why often your windowsills are actually your coldest part of your apartment. So spend some time with your hand up against the windowsill, noticing if you feel any breeze, because imagine your tropical plants who are really just trying to live their best tropical, you know, 80 degree life, not only being in an apartment that has messed up heating, but like also in this very dry heating, but then getting these gusts of icy cold freezing wind, that's going to mess them up. So people tape their windows closed, or you can put up a sheet. I mean, it depends what you're looking like, what you're looking for aesthetic wise. People like fix with caulk, like any holes that they have. So you can Google that and like figure that out for yourself for your own thing. Yeah. But that's been a big problem solver and a big thing that has come up in the Bloom and Grow community that they do. The other thing you said, leaf cleaning. Let's talk about leaf cleaning for a minute, because this is another thing that like people think, oh yeah, I should clean my leaves. You should, I feel like it comes up in the spring, like when you get your plants ready for the growing season again. But I feel like once a month, at least once a quarter, the dust accumulates on your plant leaves, and that literally blocks the plant's ability to do photosynthesis, because the dust is like putting, it's basically like a little curtain on top of the cells that are trying to do the photosynthesis with the with light. So taking a damp washcloth and giving each leaf a nice wipe, it can be a really beautifully meditative thing or stressful thing. Like I came home the other day, I've been obviously gone for a year, so a few of our plants, Billy's doing an amazing job caring for the plants, but like a few things go overlooked, and I saw one of our snake plants like caked in dust. I mean, it hadn't been washed. It's like in a corner. Yeah. It's like, so yeah, definitely giving every
home.
Yeah. And you think about it in the growing season, wiping all your plants down, because it's like, oh, they're ready to wake up and like grow. But really, if we're looking at less light and less of the ability for them to make the food that they need, it's actually more important to like get them in the most tip top shape that they could be. Right.
It's kind of funny because I guess it all depends on even like your own space, how dusty it is, right? Because call me kind of lucky, but some people look at my big monstera and like, oh, do you wipe the leaves at all? Blah, blah, blah. And I say like, no, I've actually never wiped the leaves at all, but maybe like each day I go in water, I'm like, oh, hi, leaves. And maybe, maybe touching them a few times, shaking them keeps it fresher. And maybe that space, because it is a Sunday school room, where, you know, where the big orange monstera, like the orange room where my monstera lives. It's a Sunday school room, so people are in there and moving stuff about, and it's not like
Because outdoors, there's wind, there's bugs, there's rain that is naturally doing this, and that's the one thing we deprive our plants of indoors that we have to replicate.
Yeah, yeah.
And because we're not having our windows open in the winter,
right?
Yes.
Sometimes no it's air. Nice air to every once in a while turn an oscillating fan on.
Yeah, and if you're lazy, like me sometimes, you can also just like round up all your plants in the bathtub and give them a wash that way. And that'll like wash all the dust off.
Actually, I wouldn't call that
I
lazy.
I wouldn't call that lazy at all. I'm like, I call myself the lazy gardener.
For not doing that.
But I've never done it.
Oh, you've never done it. Interesting. No.
It's nice. I mean, Billy gets mad at me sometimes because I feel like there's soil is going to get in the bathtub, but because it'll like kind of bubble over. But if you're careful enough. And you leave it, and then you give the bathtub a nice rinse before your partner comes home, you'll be fine.
And that's one thing that is actually we haven't even touched upon yet that's really big is watering in winter.
Yes.
So just cut it back.
Yeah. So why are we cutting it back? Why everyone says cut your watering back in the winter, but why is it important? Like, who wants to answer?
You both turned to me.
I know. We were like, Daryl.
The scientific answer.
Yeah.
Okay. So actually, I was going to talk about this from that kind of take a step back kind of stance. And, you know, earlier, Jazz and I were talking about, like, what are we going to say about watering in the winter? And then we both came to the conclusion that because the way that we think of watering, the way we approach it is by a strategy, therefore, even if our outward actions mean that we water less frequently, we don't actually think about the fact that we water it less frequently. It just happens because of the way that we observe the soil and make that the thing that we use to determine whether or not to water. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like, so best example is to say, like, we never think to ourselves, oh, it's Tuesday, I better water this plant, or, right, oh, it's Wednesday, you know, that plant. So because it's always by observation, then the fact that it has the length or frequency has changed in the winter is kind of like, it doesn't actually register for us that we've actually changed it. However, it is true that it does change in the winter because of the fact that there's so much less light, there's less photosynthesis going on. And it's like, I keep saying the engines are turning a little slower. So
they don't need to drink so much.
Yeah.
Yeah. So they're doing less the amount of photosynthesis because they're not growing actively. If they're in their dormant season, they're not needing that aspect as much. And the soil probably also is just drying out at a slower rate because it's colder.
Yep.
So first off, like, we're, I think in this conversation, like, really wanting to encourage people to, like, zoom out and instead of thinking once a week, think, is the soil dry? What does the plant need? But also wanting to say, like, if you are at a place in your life where you do just water plants every Tuesday or you do water once a week or something, that's also not bad at all. I definitely went through a phase in probably my first year and a half of going from plant killer to plant lady where, like, that's what I needed to do to, like, remind myself and know. So, like, no shame in that whatsoever. Mm-hmm. But if that is how you water your plants, you're going to need to, like, scale it back in the winter.
And so,
but,
like,
ideally,
you said the exact thing, which is that now instead of just, oh, Tuesday water, you should say maybe Tuesday, oh, check
to water. Right. Exactly. And stick your finger in that soil and see how wet it is. And it, because the, you might notice that sometimes the soil is going to stay wet for a while, especially depending on how you're watering it. Mm-hmm. So you don't need to just set your plants up for root rot in that way. Mm-hmm. Anything else about watering and fertilizing?
So it's interesting. I made a post about this today because today being kind of like we're coming near the middle of winter, right? I noticed five of my plants had new leaves popping up, right? Mm-hmm. And so it's the rule that I take on for when I add fertilizer is if I see active growth, then the plant is working and therefore needs the nutrients from the fertilizer, right? Mm-hmm. So for those plants, when I water them, I'll do the little, I usually use the fertilizer pellets that you add into the water. And then when you mix it, it gets dissolved. Mm-hmm. So for those plants, when I water, I'll put the fertilizer. But for other plants that I do notice that they're kind of like sleeping, then I just won't add fertilizer. I'll just look at their soil. If it's at the right dryness level, then I'll just give it a water without fertilizer.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I like to not say never repot, never use fertilizer, never do this. Just really, it's all about observation. If something's actively growing, sure, give it a little bit of a boost, but in general, it's usually not. Mm-hmm. So then you don't really need to do it as much. If a plant is totally root bound and you feel like repotting it, go for it. Or if it can wait till spring, wait till spring.
Because ideally with repotting, you do want to wait till spring.
Yes.
But if you see the roots coming all out of the pot, you can repot now and then just let it, like,
yeah, if it's
chill,
busting through and it's December 20th and you're thinking, I can't.
Right. You can.
You can.
You can do whatever you want.
Yeah.
Really. That's the other thing I feel like with plant care. It's like you think you have to follow these rules, but, like, you can do whatever you want. You just, it's whether or not your plants are going to survive.
Well, the only rule I do follow is light.
Right.
Always.
Don't put your plants in the bathroom with no window. Yeah. Don't do that. Even if you want to do that, or you can do that, but just know that that plant's going to die. You can use it like a longer floral arrangement.
Or get grow lights for it.
Put grow lights in your bathroom. I know that's my next step to see.
That's what I have in my
bathroom. Right. That's what you did with your setup. So what else should people be prepared for? I also feel like it's okay if you do have plants drop a couple of leaves. That's okay and probably expected. Like, don't freak out if a plant drops one leaf or you see one yellow leaf. If you see a lot drop, then take a look. Or if you see, you know, signs of pests or whatever. Oh, another thing too, if you're bringing plants indoors, We have a whole episode on that with Chris from The Sill. If you scroll back, it's called Transitioning Your Plants Indoors for the Winter. But there's a process to doing that, and you want to make sure you're not bringing any pests indoors in that transition. And we go through the whole kit and caboodle with how to do that, so go back and listen. But that's another thing to be thinking about in the winter if you're bringing stuff inside. Being aware of the light, being aware of the leaves. Anything else? What else are we missing?
Could we talk about plant shopping in the winter?
Yes, so great idea.
There was one time, well, it wasn't for shopping, but one time I was going to take one of my plants from my office back home, mm-hmm. and happened to be where we had a severe cold weather alert. Okay. So this is a little Dracaena that I had, and I put it in my jacket to go to the car, mm-hmm. which it was okay. Then I think I decided it would be okay to go get some groceries because I was like, oh, I only need a couple eggs. Right. Mm-hmm. So I went into the store, lineup was a little long because of rush hour, came out, and by the time I drove home, like I thought the plant was okay still, but by the time I got home, all the leaf tips were like black.
Oh no.
And I was like, the heat was on in the car. I only shut it off for 15 minutes, mm-hmm. right? But that in itself was enough to shock the plant.
Did it survive or no?
No, effectively, I cut it complete, like I cut off all the foliage and mm-hmm. then it regrew like a new stuff, right? Mm-hmm. So I guess what the lesson is here is when you're going to do plant shopping, you really have to
Go straight home.
You really have to protect the plant from exposure to the cold. Like, just imagine how long could you survive outside if you were just without your jacket on. Like, that's how fast you need to think of getting your plant back into the indoor temperatures.
Especially
when you're shopping.
Especially tender foliage, like yes. tender plants. Like,
yeah, forget
like
about it with a Maranta or something.
With your little fingertips.
Yep. And also be wary with when you order on, because my thought is, oh yeah, just order online. I feel like I order everything online now anyway. I order most of my plants online. But most online plant shopping companies now also put some sort of heating device in the box. I've seen that in several places where they have like a little heating pack that just keeps the box a little bit warm in case that box gets like stuck on your doorstep or something like that. So you can also, if you need to order plants in the winter, inquire about that maybe before you order it. My rule of thumb personally in general is trying to not bring new plants home in the winter. It's totally cool if you do because the winter blues are real. And if you need some more tropical foliage, like whatever. Well, like I said, you can do whatever you want in this hobby. This is just what we're doing. That's my rule of thumb. But I think that's a great, with the winter, with a lot of our plants going dormant, I think people will get the itch to like maybe spend or buy irresponsibly if they need to buy too many. You know, I think it's important to trust dormancy in your seasons of your life, in your seasons of your plants. There are other things you can do during the dormant period. So what are the things you guys like to do in the winter with your plants?
As I just mentioned, mm-hmm. Even if I don't buy the plants, I still love going to mm-hmm. look at the plants, especially at the big mm-hmm. Nurseries, because mm-hmm. it is literally like walking into a tropical rainforest when you're escaping from the cold, right? Mm-hmm. You walk in and your glasses fog up and it's like, oh, this is beautiful humidity, right? And yeah, and then, you know, you still get that nice feeling of seeing all the plants because they're in the nursery. They're obviously thriving. The nursery is heated. And yeah, so I like to...
So you visit.
I visit.
You do adventures.
I was going to say window shop, but I'm like, no, I'm inside.
Right. So just going to the nursery, maybe not buying anything, or like get a membership at your local botanical garden or something like that. We're not all so lucky to have a botanical garden, but you certainly have a nursery you could go chill in for mm-hmm. 30 minutes to get that needed hit of dopamine that you get when you're around plants. Yeah.
And the smell of soil, all the soil. Mm-hmm.
Really, yeah, that just like humid soil smell is so nice. Mm-hmm.
And your blood pressure drops.
Yeah.
It's overall good to go to the greenhouse.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. What about you, Jazz? What do you like to do?
I bring the greenhouse into my house. I, as a vegetable gardener, I start my seeds. Mm-hmm. I start my seedlings. Being in the Northeast, I like to have winter so mm-hmm. I can kind of rejuvenate myself and get ready for the season. Mm-hmm. So I peruse catalogs, I order all my seeds, and then I start growing my hot peppers, which is one of my favorite mm-hmm. to grow. I grow about like 15 varieties of peppers. And I start growing those as early as February.
Wow. So do you have like a full grow light kind of setup in your apartment where you're starting all those?
Yeah, I started small. I just had one grow light. I started on the windowsill, but truly to have really healthy seedlings, you need a lot
of light.
You need
that grow light.
Yeah. So I started small. I started with one grow light and each year I added a grow light or two, and I have shelves. I got shelves last year that I added more grow lights, and I grow stubbornly. Almost every single thing in my garden is from seed. So I do it inside.
And cheap.
Yeah. Yeah. Tomatoes and peppers and eggplant. You start those pretty early, and then you start everything else in a couple months after. So it's busy.
That must be nice, though, in the winter to have a shelf full of grow lights with your seeds. Like, that must be a nice mood booster just to even look at them.
Well, and especially when the tomato seedlings start growing, tomato seedlings smell like tomatoes.
Amazing. Yeah.
So you're getting bursts of summer before months and months before.
That's so fun. Ugh, I got to do that. I did my tomato seedlings 1 year because I did an episode on starting them. Obviously, I haven't been home this year, so that's maybe a fun project.
You should.
Yeah, to start in my little grow light bookshelf. I love the dormancy. I feel like I get so emo about it, watching all my plants. For me, it's fine with my plants to just simply have them. Like, they don't, just as long as they're not dying, like, that's, I'm cool with my plants. But I do love watching a bloom, like what you just said, with starting your seeds, like the process of watching the seed go to a little shoot, to a little plant, and just watching that progression of growth is so fun, which I missed. And I miss blooms in the winter. So right now, I can't bring any plants back from Canada with me to New York. But I had it on my Instagram yesterday. I bought like a gorgeous amaryllis plant that's going to have two gorgeous flowers that I'll enjoy for 4 months. I love like amaryllis and paper whites and any sort of bulb that you could kind of force to bloom in the winter. And also, like, I get cut flowers in the winter sometimes. I know that there's, you know, we love our plants, but I also love the floral industry. And sometimes just going to the neighborhood like florist and buying one really beautiful kind of exotic bloom to put in a little, you know, just like a little bud vase on my table brings a lot of joy.
Me too.
So there are things that you can do. And also, like, you can take the winter to read books on botany. I have a whole list of recommended books that are like accessible to non-scientists and botanists. Or you can journal, or you can make plans for your garden in the following year. Or you can just like sit in stillness and enjoy the quiet of what the winter is programmed to bring us.
I like to say gardening is both instant and delayed gratification.
Mm-hmm.
It's cyclical. So there is a natural cycle to it all. And you just have to sit within that natural cycle.
Yeah.
So it's instant. You can go buy a plant and it can bring you a lot of happiness, or it's delayed and you can nurse a plant back to health. I translate that to the vegetable garden. I can weed my garden and that's instant gratification.
Mm-hmm.
It looked messy and now it looks clean. And then delayed gratification is starting a seed in February and then eating it in September.
Yeah, that's wild. That's what I told myself I was going to do that with garlic this season, and I missed the planting because I've just been on the road. But that beautiful delayed gratification. So I hope this conversation has inspired us all to just kind of zoom out and prep our plants for winter. Obviously, know the steps that you're supposed to do and what you're supposed to expect, but just kind of have a better understanding about it. And plant friends, enjoy the winter. Enjoy the moody feels the winter can bring you, and sit in it and don't let it stress you out. Embrace it. Let the stillness, let the quiet kind of open other doors for you that don't need to be so like busy, I guess. Any other thoughts?
I just was so thrilled to sit and chat about plants in the winter.
In the winter. In this moody, I mean, it's been moody winter every day here since I got here in Toronto. It's like snowing or raining.
I feel like I have to apologize for the weather we've had so far.
It's okay. It would be the same
it's
in
so
New York
cold.
City. Yeah. But anyway, thank you both so much. Links to Gardenstead, links to Houseplant Journal, photos of everything Daryl and I talked about will be in the show notes. And check the show notes for all links and fun other things to do and further information on what we discussed today. So until next time, my sweet plant friends,
keep blooming and keep growing.
All right, plant friends, that was our wonderful conversation. I like that it felt a little bit more informal than our normal standard like interviews on Bloom and Grow, but we still had awesome information and conversation. And I just love how Daryl and Jazz are really committed to like helping us kind of stretch our thoughts and the way we approach plant care. So let it sink in and let me know if you end up applying anything you learned to your plant care practice in the next season. I'd love to hear because I'm going to be thinking about it and applying it on my own end because I'm going to be home. I'm going to be home January 20th for good from Kat. So I'm rejoining my plants and I'm so excited. Thank you again, Daryl and Jazz, for joining us. You can check out Gardenstead and Houseplant Journal by the links in the show notes. Thank you, my Patreon plant friends, this community. You're amazing. I'm so thankful for your support, and I'm so thankful to be making these episodes and having these conversations alongside of you. And thank you to our kick-ass episode sponsors. Like I said, if you do your Wally Grow Green Wall with Plants by Post Plants, please let me know because I think that's really fun how beautifully our two sponsors complement each other this year. If you are interested in getting amazing quality plants shipped directly to your door from this California nursery, Plants by Post is your guy. Head to plantsbypost.com. Check out the amazing plants they have to offer in the amazing pots that they have to offer. Send them as gifts or buy them for yourself. And use code BLOOM19 at checkout for 20% off. And if you are interested in putting plants on your wall in any shape or form, whether it's a green wall, whether it's columns like I did, whether it's one planter just to brighten up a space, check out wallygrow.com and use code BLOOM20 for 20% off your entire Wallygrow purchase. Plant friends, have a wonderful holiday season. I'm going to hope to hop back on here in the early new year with an episode that is more feely and more annual wrap-up-y the way I like. But I just wish you the happiest of holidays. I hope you relax. I hope you are spreading love and feeling loved and enjoying your plants. And like I said in the end of our conversation with Daryl and Jazz, trust the dormancy. Trust the winter. Trust the slowdown. Allow it all to unfold exactly the way it's supposed to. Until next time, my sweet plant friends, I love you so much and keep blooming and keep growing. Plant friends, thank you so much for tuning in today. If you like what you heard, make sure you are subscribed to the show so you never miss an episode. And while you're making sure you're subscribed, why don't you head on over to the review section of whatever podcast player you're tuning into and leave us a review. I would greatly appreciate it. If you are interested in more fun and educational planty content, well, plant friend, I've got a whole lot for you. Subscribe to the Bloom and Grow YouTube show, which is my YouTube channel where I bring you along for my personal plant journey, as well as share informational content that pairs with our podcast episodes. Follow me at Bloom and Grow Radio on Instagram for behind the scenes, sneak peeks at upcoming episodes, my daily planty lessons and thoughts, and most importantly, tune into my Instagram stories where I am constantly talking with you listeners and plant friends and polling you for content ideas, and I'm always interested in seeing what you're loving these days on Instagram. Join the Bloom and Grow mailing list and get a free download of the Molly Mansfield Keep Blooming print that she created exclusively for our community. And if you can, support Bloom and Grow Radio by becoming a plant friend on Patreon. For as little as $4 a month, you not only help me bring these planty and informative episodes to thousands of ears around the world, but you will also get the super secret planty password to our exclusive Bloom and Grow Radio Garden Club Facebook group, which is a wonderfully active group of plant friends of the Bloom and Grow Radio podcast who make up what I like to call the plantiest corner of the internet. It is a lot of fun over there. And as always, my sweet plant friends, I am here for you. If you have ideas for episode topics, guests, or if you're possibly a business interested in sponsoring the show, reach out to me because I am here to help all of you keep blooming and keep growing.